Hello, Richard here again, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits. The whole crew is here, Chris, Matt, April, and Logan, as we visit with Susan Brown, the marketing director of the Lawrence Public Library in the fair state of Kansas, over the recent event they did during the 2012 Banned Book Week. So hurry up and listen before this episode gets banned.
Oh, that was so funny and cheesy.
Well, we got to be cheesy.
I liked it.
We are back with Susan Brown. And Susan, I want to say thank you for coming on to visit with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And as I mentioned, the whole crew is here. We'll chirp in with different questions, and whoever has a question will jump in at that point. But to begin with, I thought I might let you describe what the Banned Book Week is about, if you would, for us.
Absolutely. Banned Books Week has been going on. This 2012 was the 30th year they've done it, and it is sponsored by a whole slew of groups. If I had done my homework, I could tell you all of them, but it's groups like the American Library Association, the Freedom to Read Foundation, the American Association of Publishers, and it's basically a week that celebrates the freedom to read and sort of raises awareness of censorship and intellectual freedom issues.
So was there a limit of books you accepted?
For the trading card project, no. We put out a call for artists and had no idea what we were going to get. As far as we know, no one had done this project in this way.
I think it's cool. I like it.
You said this was the first time that you know of this actually happening. What was the inspiration for the project, and was it part of your grant proposal when you wrote the grant, or was it determined before you did the proposal?
Well, it's an idea that I had cooking in my little brain for a couple of years. So to backstep just a little bit, Banned Book Week is celebrated by bookstores and libraries every year. And usually libraries will have a display of banned books. It's always a little bit tricky, and we get questions like this every year because the lingo is like celebrate Banned Books Week, and guaranteed every year someone's like, why are you celebrating banning books? That's horrible. You're librarians. So it's a little bit tricky in the messaging. But basically every year there are things like displays. There might be what they call banned books readouts, which is sort of the idea of a sit-in, but it's people standing up in public and reading banned books. So I've worked at libraries for a zillion years now, and honestly, I'd gotten a little bored with Banned Books Week. It's sort of like every year it's drug out, and you put up a display, and you get your poster from the ALA. And a couple of years ago, I don't even know how the idea came to me. Everybody asked me that, and it was 2-3 years ago, and I was like, well, what if we did trading cards? I just like trading cards, and so I had the idea, and I tried to get it going in-house here at Lawrence Public Library a couple times, and either it just didn't have legs, didn't have support, people couldn't quite wrap their head around it. And last year, we noticed that the Freedom to Read Foundation, who is a fabulous group, they're based in Chicago, they offer grants every year. They are named the Judith F. Krug Memorial Grant. They're named after a woman who is really a champion of intellectual freedom and censorship issues. So they give 8 grants every year, and we applied for one and got it, and it was $1,000. So that was finally how the banned books trading cards project got some legs.
So did that grant cover the majority of your expenses, or how much did your library have to chip in as well?
We are very lucky here in Lawrence. We have a fabulous Friends of the Library group. And so the $1,000 from the Freedom to Read Foundation would have covered the bare bones, but we asked our friends to match it, and they kicked in $1,000. So that made us able, that let us have things like an artist reception, and we did some extra printing. And so that really made it nice. So for $2,000, we got a lot of bang for our bucks.
And we have to admit, Lawrence is one of the bigger towns and cities in Kansas. It has, is it Kansas University that's there or Kansas State?
University of Kansas.
Did you utilize them in any way with the printing, or did you just go with somebody local, or did you have to job that out to somebody elsewhere?
So for the printing piece of it, we had looked, there are actually, for anybody that's interested in doing trading cards, there are a couple of online trading card printer job sites. And so I had looked at a couple of them and gotten some, just a sort of a sensibility of how big they should be and what the specs for the art are. But in the end, we really try and do business locally as much as possible. So I have to give a shout out to two folks. One is Scanning America, which is here in town, and it's a scanning company, and they chipped in totally free. They did high-res scans of five of the pieces. Two of the pieces were digital, but they did really nice high-res scans of the other five. And then Kingston Printing in Eudora printed these for us, and I had no idea what I was getting into. I was just like, I don't know. You know, they were asking me about paperweight and glossy and coating, and I said, just do whatever is right, guys. And so we were thrilled with the quality of the cards.
They look good when I looked at them. They're very high quality. You would think from looking at them that they were, you know, a national printed trading card thing. I thought they looked really good. With your trading cards, was there a limit to the age? How young, how old? Could anybody participate, or did you just, how'd you do that?
That's a great question. And just to back up a second, the back of the trading cards, we really wanted them to have a little bit of a nod to an actual trading card with like stats, you know, if you think of a baseball card, sort of stats about the player, and they kind of have this sort of cardboardy look to them. So we tried to sort of riff on trading cards. So on the back of the card, you've got the book and why it was banned, and then a statement from the artist and some logos. So we were really trying to keep in the spirit of trading cards. So as far as who we reached out to, that's a great question, because when we got the money and we realized that the project was actually going to happen, we talked to a lot of folks about sort of how we should do the call for artists. And I might have had a few beers with a local artist and said, how should we do this? And he might have thought that I commissioned him to do all seven. That was not right. And then we met with some groups, and they talked about sort of commissioning seven artists, but we knew with a budget of $2,000, we could not commission artists. Then one really interesting idea that we had was, at one point we thought that we were going to do, I guess it's known as an invitational, where the artists, like we would pick seven artists and have an event where they would actually create the artwork so people could like mill around and have a glass of wine and watch them create it. But that got a bit complicated. So in the end, we, because we're also a library and we're open to all, and this is all about intellectual freedom and artistic expression, we did just a general call for artists. Could be any age, any skill level. The only limit that we put on it was they had to be in Douglas County. So we made it because we really wanted to promote local artists. The whole point of it was to promote all of the cool artists that are in Lawrence and the Lawrence art scene. So the call went out, and it was basically anybody from Lawrence, Douglas County, and it had to be, I think I called it works on paper, and it had to be whatever the size of the card is. It's like 2.5 by 3.5, I think. But I asked them to submit 5x7 pieces because we knew that we were going to shrink them down. So for quality, they submitted 5x7 works on paper, which some of them turned out to be digital, which I hadn't even thought of. But just so long as they submitted, it could be digitally native, but submitted it on paper. So two of these pieces, the Slaughterhouse-Five card and the Origin of Species card were actually created digitally.
So when you picked the winners, did you just pick them at random, or were they separated by age group, or how did you pick the winners, I guess, for the contest?
Great question. One of our partners in this was the Lawrence Arts Center, which is a great nonprofit here in town, sort of a community anchor. And they were one of our partners in this. And so we had a jury. I learned so much on this project about trading card gloss printing and how to run an artist jury. We formed a jury of three. So it was our director, Brad Allen, the Art Center, their director of exhibits, an artist named Ben Alvers. And then we got a local author who's also a big library user and supporter. And her name is Lucia Orth. And so they were the jury. And so what I did once the call for artists resulted, I think it was 46 submissions. And I laid them all out and they were blind. So I had no names, nothing. They were just looking at the art. And that was a really interesting process. So they all kind of went through, they all had post-it notes and they would put a post-it note by the one they liked. And three or four pretty quickly rose to the top. And then there was a good hour or two's discussion on picking the other two or three.
So all ages were grouped together. There was no breaking out.
Yep. We had all ages. It was totally blind. And we resulted in, let's see, there's one high school student, two sort of young artists, fairly fresh out of college. Actually, one of them is a KU professor, a guy who was named 2 years ago. He was named one of the best illustrators in the world. One of them actually, and this was blind and there was no money involved, so we sort of cleared this. One of them is actually a library employee who's also a graphic artist.
Are books still banned, like some in America?
That's a great question, because Banned Books Week every year gets a little pushback on their name. If you look at what the week talks about, it's banned and or challenged books. And books are challenged, meaning, you know, whether they are in the library or on the school shelves or taught in classrooms, books are still challenged all the time. One of these books, it was in Missouri. Slaughterhouse-Five was recently removed from school curriculums in Republic, Missouri. So it's in America, it's rare that books are truly banned. That still happens in a lot of different countries probably, but really we're talking mostly in the U.S. about challenges to books.
Okay, so it's probably just like the stuff to read in school, like, is where it would be banned if they ever did.
You know, it's not just in schools. In at the Topeka Public Library, just a couple years ago, it's been maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, they had a big controversy where a patron of the library asked that, and I should not say too much about it because I'm not up on the details, but it involved taking, it was some books that was sort of, I think it was The Joy of Gay Sex and another book about homosexual life. They wanted them removed from the open shelves and placed behind a desk, and they had to be asked for. And it was a big, big controversy. You can probably get on their site and find out about it. So it is definitely not just in schools. Now, Lawrence is lucky. We rarely have challenges to books here, but I would think that in public libraries, if you talk to them, it certainly happens on a more regular basis than you might think.
Just to kind of go along with the flow of the questioning, when you had the contest, you have people that are really geared, they appreciate the banned books, and they came and did your contest. Did you have anybody in the community take the opposite side and not appreciate it?
Some haters?
We had, I would say, no haters. Maybe a few of the artists that didn't get chosen, but they were still very supportive, because what we did is we chose seven winners, but then all of the other submissions, we had a big exhibit in the lobby that was up all week. So all of their art was on display. But we had no negative reaction to the project, thankfully.
And you mentioned the display. Now, if I remember right, when I first contacted you, you had it within the library, but did you also have another display at the Arts Center? Is that correct?
We sure did. That was one of the perks. So again, because of the fairly small budget, we did not offer the artists any, you know, monetary reward. We told them that they would get, you know, several packs of cards for free and several runs of individual cards. So one of the perks that we worked out is, again, partnering with the Lawrence Art Center. We had a artist reception, which is part of Final Fridays here. That's kind of the Final Friday art walk through town. So we had the unveiling of the winners and of the exhibit Friday before Banned Books Week. And then after that night, the seven winners were on exhibit at the Art Center, right in the lobby, which is a really kind of a nice nod, especially for like the high school student and some of the younger artists to have their work on display at the Art Center. So the seven winners went on to the Art Center. We had the rest of the entries on display here. And then each day, if you came to the reception, you could see all seven winners. But after that, we only launched one card each day. So each day in the lobby, we had a big, like, I don't know, 2 by 3 foot blow up of each card. And then those would go up on the wall each day. And so that was part of the fun of the project was the execution, is that we kept the cards secret and revealed a new one each day.
Basically encouraging the people to come back each day to see what the next one would be. So good idea.
That was basically my dastardly plan, was to get them coming back every day. They had to get their butts in here every day. Now, there were also some cards at the Art Center, so they could strategically plan their week, which the Art Center is sort of located at the opposite end of downtown from us. But the idea was they had to come in every day.
Cool. I went on the website and looked through a lot of the artwork, and you made us, there's a statement online that said you've been contacted by several people. I was curious of maybe your furthest away that a person contacted you, or even your most unique contact that you got because of this project that you did there in town.
That's a great question. It was really interesting. When I worked with the artist, I told them that I really felt like this would get some press in the library world, because I really didn't think that anybody had done this way. So Sunday afternoon, the library opens at noon, and I'm at home and I'm on my computer and I'm putting up the first day's card, which is the Animal Farm card. And the other great thing is we worked with the local paper, and they did a big feature on the project on Sunday. And then every day that week on the front page of the paper in full color was each day's card. So that was really nice press. So I put up the first day's card on Sunday on the website. I put it on Facebook and I tweeted it. And within an hour, I had somebody from Maine contact me and said, how can I get these cards? And I thought, okay, that's just, you know, because we're pretty visible on social media here. And I thought, okay, that's just, you know, somebody who's been following us. And then by the end of Sunday afternoon, I'd gotten 5 or 6. And then Monday, when the Slaughterhouse 5 card went up, which was just, there's something about that card. They're all just awesome. But that card just grabbed people. I got emails and phone calls from all over the country. And at first I was sort of like, you know what, we'll just ship you some out. We'll cover the shipping. And if you want to make a donation to the library, you can do so through our foundation. And by Monday afternoon, I had stopped answering emails. I had probably 100 requests in 48 hours. And then through the week, well, by Tuesday, we knew that we had to kind of come up with a plan. Tuesday morning, actually, I got an email from Australia. I have no idea. It's like the power of the internet. So they started seeing these. So we actually really quickly turned around. We worked with the artists. Again, something that I learned from the project, I got to draw up a legal agreement, artist agreement. We did a second printing because we had printed enough. At the start of the project, we were going to give away 300 at the library, 100 at the Art Center, and we kept 100 back for PR. So we only printed 500. So we very quickly talked to the artists, got things going. We got a second printing, we set up a PayPal account, and by Wednesday of that week, we were selling them. They were still free to people in Lawrence. We actually ended up offering another 50 for people that came into the library because they were so popular. So midweek through the week, we started selling them. The other thing is that we started getting national press attention. So the Lawrence Journal World Story got picked up by the AP Wire. So the show or the article appeared in like the Seattle Post. It appeared in the Chicago paper on their online site. And then the Huffington Post called me on Tuesday, which was pretty cool. and they wanted to feature it. And true to the spirit of it, I was thrilled that Huffington Post was interested, but they wanted to go ahead and do the feature. And I said, I can't give you the cards. The whole trick of the project is that each card is revealed each day, which was sort of weird as a marketing person to tell a major national media outlet, I'm sorry, you can't do that. So we worked with them, and they ended up printing or publishing it on Friday, and I gave them a sneak peek at Saturday's card. And so the Huffington Post article just exploded. And then I don't know if you guys know the book site Book Riot. They're just a great, really funny, edgy book site. They published a big feature on Saturday. So there was a lot of press.
And I think within that mix, there was us as well. So, again, thank you.
That's right. Oh, no, sorry. I was just saying that I shouldn't forget that I think that you guys called on about Wednesday or Thursday, which is very cool. I get the email updates about the podcast, so I was tickled that you guys called.
And I think I learned from the listserv as well. So for the individuals in Kansas, the listserv is utilized. So don't think that it's not. It is. Kudos for them for having that service for the librarians in Kansas.
I was pretty surprised to see some of those books on the list. Like, because we saw some of the other entries. And like, I could see a lot of them being banned for some reason, but like of Mice and Men, my class is actually reading that right now, and I was very shocked to see that had been banned.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing about banned books, is that some of the reasons that people object to them are just ridiculous. So, and actually, when you mentioned that you're reading that in school, a lot of the people that have contacted us about purchasing these are teachers who often teach banned books and sort of develop their curriculum around books. So we have gotten lots and lots of teachers, and we actually do a discount, sort of a bulk discount for teachers when we sell them. But talking about the crazy reasons that books are banned, I think of the 7 cards of the week, my favorite has to be Little Red Riding
Hood. That's my favorite.
I mean, it's beautiful art. Lindsay actually used to work here, and she has gone on to do book illustration, and she's fabulous. It's just a great card. I mean, the art on it, every time that I look at it, I see something new. But the reason for the banning is because it encourages childhood drinking. And her statement is just great, you know. But they really are banned for some very silly reasons.
To mention that, you've mentioned it a couple of times about purchasing the card sets. Would you let everybody know, if they are interested, how they can go about contacting you and picking up a set?
Absolutely. Thanks for letting me plug that. You can go to our website, which is lawrencepubliclibrary.org. And there's a couple ways there. I'm going to pull it up real quick. There's actually, we have kind of a featured slider at the top that goes through. It is on that slider. It's called Collect All 7. So you can go to lawrencepubliclibrary.org and either wait for the slider to kind of cycle through, or do lawrencepubliclibrary.org/collect all 7. And then the other way, of course, is to email me. I'm just sbrown@lawrencepubliclibrary.org, and I'm happy to set you up. We have shipped these to, they're very popular in Australia. I would love to figure out how they got to be so big there, but I've probably sent, 2 dozen shipments to Australia. They're also popular in Canada, and we finally shipped a couple to England. And we have officially shipped them to every state in the U.S.
Very cool. Nice.
And the great thing about selling them is, so the artist got into this thinking, you know, that they were just doing it, maybe get some exposure. It's just a cool project. With the second printing, what we did with the sales of them is each artist gets 5%. So there's $7 a pack. Of that 7, each artist gets 5%. There's a small shipping fee involved. And then we have to cover our costs, and then, of course, the printing of the cards. So each artist makes some money off of the sale of the cards, and whatever's left goes to the library. So it's a really nice kind of unforeseen bonus of the project.
So are the originals for sale as well?
Boy, I wish they were. That is such a great question. And we are definitely going to do this again next year, but that was the first question when we had the reception for the opening. and gosh, over 100 people came to that. I wasn't thinking that it was going to be that big, but people like came with their checkbooks ready, either to buy the originals or they wanted poster prints. And we were doing good just to get the whole second printing and the sales done. But the artists got the original work back. I know that one of them, the last card of the week, which is the Big Brother card, that is a library employee named Dale Martin, who actually has a webcomic called Watusi the Talking Dog. He actually took his original piece and donated it. I think it was to a local AIDS charity auction. So the artist got them all back. Next year, I will definitely be ready and think about some other possibilities. The one that I really want is, two things. I think that the Animal Farm card could be a great book cover. And the Slaughterhouse-Five card with the birds riding on the bomb, I really want that, like, on a kind of army green cloth messenger bag. So there's definitely sort of merchandising possibilities for the future.
I was just giving her a thumbs up. I like that card, too.
Yeah. And one of the greatest ones, I mean, the cards have such great stories. So if you have time, I can kind of walk you through just a couple of cool things.
Okay, sure.
Sunday's card was Animal Farm, and that is done by an artist named Barry Fitzgerald, who is a professor at KU. He's the one who was, like, 2 years ago in some list or some poll was named one of the world's greatest illustrators. He's a great guy. One thing that I will say about that card, and I don't know if you guys saw it, but when we were doing the jury selection, and lots of people that have seen it, they either take a long time to get it or they never see it, is that the part on the top, which I just sort of thought as kind of like a Soviet-esque banner, is actually a pig's hoof sort of stepping on a barn.
What?
Yeah.
Pig's hoof.
Yeah, sorry. When I first saw it, I thought it was the roof of the barn almost. So.
What?
Yeah, so okay, it's a very kind of cool piece. So anyway, so he's a professor at KU. Now then, if you go to Monday's card, which is the Slaughterhouse-Five card with the birds on the bomb, that's Kent Smith, who has a great website called smittytown.com. And he's just fabulous. He's got some really cool art at Smittytown. But he was a former student of the Animal Farm card artist. And then you go to Tuesday's card, which is the Rabbit Run card. And this artist, he goes by the name of Webmacher. And he's been fabulous. He bought the book, which it's a burned copy of John Updike's Rabbit Run. He actually bought this book that he altered at the Friends of the Library book sale, which is very cool. Wednesday's card, which is the Call of the Wild, was our only high school student. And everybody loved that card. There's something about that card that just, like, to me, when I look at it, like, the sad dog is kind of like, don't ban books. And then you get the wolf, who's like, I'll eat your face off if you ban books. So there's just something about that card that I totally love. Okay, so then we move on to Thursday, which is the Origin of Species card. This card has a great story because if you read the artist's statement, he dedicates it to his high school science teacher. And when he was at El Dorado High School, and somebody was asking earlier if books are banned, this guy's not that old. He's probably in his early 20s. When he was in high school in Kansas, they tried to censor the teachings of Darwin, and his science teacher stood up and kind of fought that fight. So he dedicated that card to his teacher. So then Friday's card, Little Red Robin Hood, she is also a student of the Animal Farm card, and wait for it, she's engaged to the Origin of Species. Yeah. So we did not know this. It was a blind competition. Once I learned that, I had to put them back to back on days.
Was that a blind date situation too?
I don't know about that, but it was a blind judging. And then the last card of the week is the Big Brother card, which is Dale Martin, who has Watusi the Talking Dog. He's got a very popular webcomic. But the other thing that we liked about that is that we began and ended the week with Orwell. So that's kind of the reason why, how the cards laid out and kind of some of the stories behind the cards.
Well, you were talking about, you noticed that, you know, the Animal Farm card had the hoof.
I thought that was a hill.
Yeah, well, that one had the hoof. Do you know the Big Brother card has a QR code, or what is that called? The
barcode thingy?
Yeah, no, it's not a barcode. It's a QR code.
It looks
like
an eyeball.
It's a QR code, and not only did I notice it, I tried to scan it, but it doesn't really work. It's an artist rendering of a QR code.
It kind of would have been cool if it would have been active.
And like then and it goes to a link where you read the whole book.
Well, and as a marketing person, Hedy asked me, I was like, the QR code could take you to the site to buy the car. That's how my mind works. But the other great thing is at the event, I was chatting with Barry Fitzgerald, who's the Animal Farm card guy, and then Kent Smith, who is the Slaughterhouse Five card guy. And Kent was Barry's former student, and they were chatting about sort of the different styles of the cards. And, you know, the Animal Farm card is very sort of sleek and bare and very modern. And then Kent, who did the Slaughterhouse Five card, he said this was his nod to when he had Barry as a professor. He said, you know, don't just throw everything in there. You never want to do that. And Kent said, I just threw everything in there. So it's got like, you know, the starburst in the background, the flaming city in the bottom, the birds on the bomb. It's got the plane in the background. Like, he just threw everything in there. But there's something about that card that is just so darn cool.
And I think if you'll allow me, I'll probably let Logan and April pick one card each. And when I upload the podcast, I'll use that as some of our imagery, unless you have a specific one you'd like for me to use.
No, pick whatever you want. I've got, I don't know if I sent them all to you or if you can just grab them off our website, but I've got files of all of them that I can send you.
We have a scanner at work, so I can scan them in and upload them that way.
Okay.
April's already picking hers out. She says Little Red Riding Hood.
Looking at the cards and kind of noticing different things. The text of the Little Red Riding card, where it's got that written in script, it took me forever to kind of realize that, you know, that's actually the form of the smoke coming out of the chimney of the house where they're standing and drinking their wine.
I like how it's like the style, I don't know what it's called, the style they use is like really awkward. And that the grandma's cheeks and nose is rosy.
Yeah, and actually that's like kind of awkward. It's not quite primitive, but there's something just off about it. Like, he's really skinny and tall, but he's got this big head.
He's like in-proportioned.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very much that kind of like block printing style, like the kind of printing, the printmaking kind of thing. So yeah, that's a great card.
Well, I think that's about it, unless you have anything else you want to mention, Susan.
I think we've covered it. I'm just thrilled to have the chance to come and talk about it. And the other big question that we're getting is, I've gotten lots and lots of emails about places that want to copy this. And I say, go right ahead. I would be thrilled if every library in the country did banned books trading cards. We are definitely going to do it again next year. I keep getting questions. So we'll have a new set next year.
Well, I know this year I happened to be at the Exploration Place for their opening. That happened to be at the same time you had yours. But if possible and funds willing, if you want to keep me in the loop, I might try to sneak over that way. Sometimes the funds are get in the way.
Yeah, I understand. We would love to have you over here anytime.
I think that's pretty much it. I appreciate you coming on with us today. It's been a blast listening to the stories and all the different things you've been through. It's definitely not every day that a librarian gets to experience this kind of notoriety.
Yeah, it's been really fun. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. We appreciate all you do for the libraries and for your library itself there in Lawrence. Thank you very much.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com.
All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.